one of the areas that is squarely within our arena of healthcare delivery. During the hospitalization, everything that happens is we are a part of.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is what we know about the discharge process is everything that we've done, all the efforts that we've put in to save somebody's life, the years of experience, of training, of medical school and residency, and all of those sorts of things come to bear when we take care of those patients during the hospitalization. And all of it can be unraveled at the time of discharge if the discharge is not actually done well.
How do you approach internal handoffs and discharges together as sort of a, you know, a basket full of problems to be solved? What kind of language do you like to use when we're talking about these things together?
I actually think they're intrinsically related. And I talk about transitions of care as truly transitions of care.
Right.
And transitions happen at several points. One point can be a provider change, and that's what you were describing,
yeah.
A shift change for a nurse or a hospitalist.
Yeah.
Someone going on or off service, a cross-coverage mechanism even for outpatient physicians. So those are provider changes.
All right.
Then there's the geography change or patient changes. And those transitions happen when patients move. They move from the emergency department up to the medicine ward. They move from the medicine ward to a procedure suite or to the OR and back. They move into the intensive care unit based on severity of illness. But there's geography that is also the second aspect of things that really lays the foundation for these transitions that happen. And then there's both. When you have a provider change and a geography change, that's discharge.
Uh-huh.
They're physically leaving the hospital and you're trying to hand off to a completely different person. So putting those together, the concepts of how you manage these care transitions are very, very similar. And the responsibilities of individuals and the analysis of systems really is a similar approach. Working in the area of handoffs for years now, and I fundamentally believe that the transitions, the multiple transitions, will not only continue or be maintained, but they'll likely increase. And that building systems, using quality improvement science to be able to analyze your system, come up with solutions, sustain and embed improvements, and then evaluate that what you've done, these are fundamentals of quality improvement, and they should be applied to transitions in care. I think that the transitions in care really are one of the most vulnerable times for patients, and that we need to, as hospitalists and as healthcare providers or people that are working within the healthcare system, we need to really be able to step up to the plate, recognize this vulnerability, and improve upon it.
You know, in practical terms, an average hospital and a hospitalist who reads my article, and they haven't gone very far down this path, how do they get started? How might a hospitalist say, okay, we're going to improve this process, we're going to be systematic, we're going to, you know, achieve quality in our transitions and improve them?
Well, first, I think that there's going to be two types of hospitalists. The hospitalist that you describe is someone who wants to lead an improvement.
Okay.
And that's terrific. But then there's the majority of hospitalists who just really want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want to be leading this improvement, but they want something done so that their patients aren't suffering, that
yeah.
their patients are not actually having the untoward effects that we know that care transitions that are those gaps that are not managed very well cause. So those are two different things. And that hospitalist who just wants to do the right thing and wants the system to be better, that's terrific too. And what they need to do is they actually need to be open to changing the way they do things. They need to be open to changing the way not only that they individually do things, but how they interact with the system, possibly technology, most definitely with all of the other care practitioners that are actually working within this system. They need to be able to be open to changing their conceptual framework around when the discharge process starts. So that is one whole grouping of folks. Now, the person who wants to lead this and says, you know, I'm actually going to take this on and we're going to do something about it, you need help. I think that's the number one thing. And there's a lot of help out there. There's websites, there's courses, and SHM offers a resource room to assist in learning the skills, the basic skills around quality improvement science or performance improvement science. Then you need to, so that's skills, and then you need to build a team. And I think that that's the key to all of this. I have been involved with a few collaboratives to try to improve different aspects of the care transitions within the hospital. And one of the elements of success is having an interdisciplinary team. We as hospitalists cannot fix the system. Nurses cannot fix the system. We actually have to work together to be able to understand what the system is, which I think we would all be surprised when we actually fundamentally ask that question of how does a patient get discharged. Everybody in the whole system has a different idea of how a patient gets discharged or how a handoff actually happens.
Yeah.
So building an interdisciplinary team so you can look at the issue from a number of different vantage points. And then the last thing is to partner with your hospital. This is on everybody's radar to improve. There, in terms of the discharge process, this is not only in the public policy debate, but every single CEO and CMO of every hospital right now is thinking about this. Partner with your hospital. Get resources from your hospital. Resources meaning somebody who actually knows how to do this well. Some hospitals have lean coaches or Six Sigma black belts. You're going to need someone who can pull data and understand how to use that data. But those partnerships will also, within your hospital, help you set the groundwork for embedding and sustaining the improvements that you actually have. Being open to change is harder than you think.
Okay.
But change is a coming, and all of us are resistant to change.
Yeah.
Being that early adopter, allowing yourself to be open to change and knowing that this is coming is actually, you will, if you are able to do that, you will be the key to the success of a system overhaul.
Okay.
I think that what individuals can do is they can raise awareness with everybody that they're speaking to. They can set different standards. We are role models. We are role models for the people who work with us and the people who work under us. And so if we take care transition seriously, then the folks that are around us will start to take care transition seriously. If we stop and take time to do our handoff, to do it face-to-face, to make it very clear, to change the way we communicate, other people will notice that, and that will have a ripple effect. The other piece is just to be cognizant of what's going on.
Yeah.
So recognizing that you know, that there is a big system change coming, knowing what's on the horizon, that can really help you better prepare yourself. And then the last piece is being accountable to yourself. You know, we are incredibly busy. Hospitalists are, you know, they take care of a wide range of patients. They're running around. They're doing quite a bit of different sorts of work. And taking the time to recognize the importance of the care transition and really taking that time, as much time as you might looking up an answer to a complex clinical question, but really focusing in your time and your efforts and your attention on these very vulnerable periods of time for patients. Taking a step back even from communication, this is about information.
Yeah.
And who has the information? Do you have the information that you need in a way that is usable to you? And that, again, starts at the time of the admission of a patient. And whether it's an inter-hospital transfer or handoff, or whether it's a hospital-to-outpatient transfer or handoff, it's just about information. And there are many communication channels or modalities in which we can share information. There are virtual ways to share information. So, for example, a discharge summary that allows for all different practitioners to input. There's a doctor section, a nurse section. The nutritionist puts in something about the diet, and the physical therapist puts in whatever the mobility aspects are. So that would be a very collaborative way to use technology to improve that piece of information. It allows for all of the different healthcare practitioners to understand what each other is saying, but then this allows for also for a document that can be used from transition to transition. Then there's how we communicate with each other. Again, outside of that sort of the written modality, in terms of who has the information that needs to happen. One of the biggest challenges at our institution and at others, especially with the patient population that hospitalists take care of, is how do you determine when a patient will be discharged? And the nurses will say to the hospital, "Well, I didn't know the person was supposed to get well." The hospitals will say, "Well, we knew yesterday." So how do we communicate what is the information that is absolutely necessary and how do we communicate that? Is that a verbal discussion in multidisciplinary rounds? Again, is there a technology fix to this? How is that communicated? These different channels of communication, we know through communications disciplines, have benefits and drawbacks. But we do know that verbal communication is the richest and most effective communication channel that there is, because the human voice allows for intonations, allows for expressing a sense of urgency that one will not get from in the same fashion or in the same effectiveness from any sort of written form. So I don't know if this is relevant, but one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is, you know, hospitalists are, we are squarely in the center to improve this.
Yeah.
We really are. We know the hospital. We understand the challenges better likely than other physician groups.
Yeah.
And we're part of the problem. We kind of made this.
Yeah.
If there were no hospitalists, outpatient doctors would be coming into the hospital, and they would actually, there wouldn't be as much of an issue of care transitions, right?
Because they'd be handing it back to themselves.
Oh, exactly. So we actually caused some of this.
Yeah.
So it is actually our responsibility to take ownership of that, and I believe to be part of the solution. Now, that said, not all of us are equipped to be able to do some of this work. I happen to really like this work, but not all of us like it or want to be part of that. So I think that one of the other pieces to this is to find those folks that really like doing this, and whether that's within your hospitalist group, whether that's somebody else within your hospital, or that's collaborating with an outside group who does this for a living. But I think that the time is now, and I think that the urgency of fixing this is paramount.